Today we want to think on the subject, be faithful in loving one another. I want to read the scripture portion in 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 15. It says, "For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that since one," referring to Christ, "died for all, they were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Now notice it's stressed that we are not to live unto ourselves. Every spring, Valentine's Day comes around, and many school children trade Valentine's cards or perhaps give cards to neighborhood friends or children. And some of these cards have phrases like, "Be mine," or "Be my Valentine." It's interesting how possessive and self-centered many of those cards or thoughts really are. It says, "Be mine," or "Be my Valentine." But aren't they only expressing a problem that is all too often true in many lives today? We by nature are very self-centered people. All too often our thoughts and our words are, "I," or "me," or "mine," or "I want," or "this is my right," or "I want my way." And all too often, excuse me, we are very intolerant of others' ideas or others' desires or others' needs. Now, I don't mean we should be wishy-washy or fence straddlers or compromisers, but that's another problem. True love is never that way. God wants us to get our hearts and minds off of self and focus instead on Christ and one another. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, we read, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the satisfaction for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Excuse me. Now notice in our text how many times it says in some way that God is love, 3 times, and that God loved us, and it says that 3 times. And then notice it says in verse 7, "Let us love one another." And verse 11 says, "We ought to love one another." Verse 8 says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And those are strong words. Notice in verse 20, it says, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen?" Now, verse 7 that we read earlier says, everyone that loveth is born of God, or is saved, and knoweth God, or in other words, he is matured spiritually. Love is a spiritual thermometer. It shows whether there is a spiritual warmth or coldness in our hearts. Then notice it said in verse 11, if God so loved us, and we did, and he did, we ought to love one another. And chapter 3, verse 23 says, love one another as he gave us commandment. Now I want to turn back to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 12. And this is what it says. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now notice again, it says, love one another as I have loved you. One another, of course, is referring to our fellow believers. We can apply it to many different areas. One another in the church, or one another in the home, or one another to Christians in general. And God says, love one another as I have loved you. If we are going to know how we should love, we need to see how Christ loved us. And there are four things we want to think about concerning God's love. First of all, God's love is inclusive. And John 3:16, remember, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now notice, it starts out, for God so loved. And who does it say he loved? It says he loved the world. And that refers to everybody. There's a children's song that goes like this. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And of course that's true, but he loves more than just the little children. He loves all the young people and the adults. No one is excluded because of race or because of color or social status or wealth or lack of it or education or lack of it or ability or talent. Now we are quick to exclude people, but God loved the world. No one was excluded. His love is inclusive. Secondly, his love is indiscriminate. His love is indiscriminate. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't wait for us to clean up our act. Instead, Christ died for each of us while we were yet sinners. When I was in Bible school in Omaha, we ministered a lot in the Open Door Mission down on 13th Street. The mission was filled with men from off the street. They were poorly dressed and dirty and smelly and blurry-eyed men. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he did not discriminate against these men and die just for the rest of us. No, he died for them also, as well as us. In fact, it goes deeper than that. God looked at each one of us and saw us on the same level as he saw them. All of us are sinners that needed to be saved. When I was a child in one of the lower grades, and I don't remember what grade it was, but it was in grade school, my mother had gotten Valentine cards, and we were going through them and writing on the back, and we were going to give one to each person in my class. And so on the back, we wrote to so-and-so, and we'd write the name of the kid, and then we'd write from Gary. Now, as we were going through the names, we came to the name of a boy whose name was Leon Pettit. And I told my mom, I'm not going to give Leon a card. He threw sand in my face while we were playing one day. Now, Jesus didn't say to God the Father, I'm not going to die for so-and-so because he's going to be an alcoholic. Or I'm not going to die for so-and-so because he's going to murder someone. Or I'm not going to die for so-and-so because she's going to have a child out of wedlock. Or I'm not going to die for so-and-so because she's going to be a gossiper. Or I'm not going to die for so-and-so because his mouth is going to be filled with cursing and profanity. Or I'm not going to die for so-and-so because her heart is going to be filled with hate and bitterness. Or I'm not going to die for so-and-so because he's going to reject my gracious offer of salvation anyway. No, God's love is indiscriminate. He saw all of us on the same level. We're all sinners. And Jesus died for each one of us, regardless of what kind of life we were going to live after we grew up. And then thirdly, God's love is intimate. God's love is intimate. In John chapter 14, verse 3, we read, And since I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now Jesus told us, Now Jesus told us that he was going to prepare a place for us in heaven, and then he was going to come again and receive us unto himself, that we might be with him. Now why would he want me or any of us to be with him forever? Why would he choose us to be with him? We all sin and come short of God's perfect standard, and we all have weaknesses and failures. Now I realize we're saved if we receive Christ as our Savior, and when he comes, we're going to be changed and given new bodies. We're going to be made like Christ, but we're still created beings who have hearts that have been sinners by nature and by choice. So why would he want us to be with him? But he does, and he promised that. When I was in Bible school at the Omaha Baptist Bible College, one year they put freshmen as roommates with us who were upperclassmen. And my roommate this one year was a boy whose feet sweat a lot and thus smelled bad. And add to that, he didn't take a bath very often. And the dean of men talked with him, and yet most of the time, with my bed set next to the window, I slept with the window open some, even in the fall and winter time. And I did that so I could get fresh air. Finally, they moved him to a room by himself. If I could have chosen a roommate that next semester, I would not have chosen him. Yet Jesus is holy, and sin is an awful stench to his holiness. And yet he said, I love you, and I am going to receive you unto myself so that you can be with me forever. Now that's real love. Not only is his love inclusive and indiscriminate and intimate, but fourthly, God's love is infinite. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, the first part of verse 8, it says, God's love never fails. His love is so different from what we call love. People say many times, I love you, or I love that person, or I love my spouse. And they say that as long as that person meets their expectations, as long as that person does what they think they should do, or act like they think they should, or as long as that person is what they think they should be. You see, their love is conditional. It's based on performance. Now, God's love is unconditional, and his love never fails. How many times has a husband or wife said to their spouse, or said about their spouse, I have no feelings for him or her anymore? Love for such a person is rooted in emotions. It is according to how a person feels. Again, such love is conditional. The recipient has to act the right way or has to say the right things or look the right way. Excuse me. That person needs to look the right way. In other words, they need to keep their weight off or keep in shape and so forth, or they need to work hard at making sure that he or she does what's necessary so the other will always have those feelings of love toward them. Now life and relationships do take a lot of work and forgetting and forgiving, but love is not rooted in emotions. Love is a choice. God says, love one another, and we must choose whether or not we will obey. Yes, love is a choice. What the world terms as love is so shallow and superficial and fleeting many times. But God says, love never fails. Even when the person doesn't meet our expectations, or even if the person isn't like others are, or is different, or even if the person can be annoying, or even if the person doesn't look pretty or handsome anymore, Love, true love, never fails. One night, years ago, there was a program on TV that showed a man and a woman who had been married over 50 years. And at the time when they showed the program, she was living in a special home and had Alzheimer's disease. And the husband would come every day to be with her, to talk to her, and to do things for her. And many times there was little or no response from her. He said such things as, "I love her. She's so beautiful." And with tears running down his cheeks, he said that the hardest time of the day was when 6 o'clock came and he had to leave her and go home. Now that's real love. Again, in closing, I want to read 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. And it says this, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." You see, we are compelled to not live for ourselves, but to live for Christ and for one another. And we're compelled to love one another, regardless of the circumstances. May we who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior be loving to one another. May we love the people in our home, in our church, and fellow believers. May we be loving people. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being able to spend time in your word. And Lord, I pray that we might love as Christ loved us, and that we might be faithful in loving our spouse or our children or our parents or other fellow believers, whoever it is. May we be faithful in loving one another as Christ loves us. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.